Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting next to Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, yesterday on the show, we talked about this great defensive effort by the Packers to open the season. Talked a lot about Mike Daniels and Nick Perry in particular. But another veteran player who we shouldn't be remiss in discussing with regards to this defensive effort is veteran safety Morgan Burnett. Not any necessarily big-time splash plays and whatnot, but he was a key piece as to how this entire defensive performance got put together.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, Mike. And I go back to the season-ending news conference that Mike McCarthy had back in what would be January. I remember asking him about Burnett and just how that whole situation played out with the nitro package and him playing more towards the line of scrimmage. In his words of saying, you know, they liked what they saw, and now they want to expand upon it. They want to build upon it. They want to make that role larger. And as I watched the game on Sunday, that's sort of the thing that was sort of in the back of my mind the whole time, those words, and seeing what the Packers did. Now, I doubt they're going to run the nitro 40, 41 times out of 47, whatever it was against the Seahawks in every game this season.
No.
But it does give you an idea of how often they do want to deploy it, how much of a part of the defense that this package is going to be, and really how important Morgan Burnett is going to be in that equation for them, because this is a guy that gives them more flexibility in terms of coverage, but also with his ability to defend in the box, stand up to running backs. It's ultimately what is going to make this package as successful as it's going to be this season.
Yeah, and just to clarify for those who are wondering exactly what is the nitro package, because we throw those terms around and it's been tossed around a lot in the media. If you think of the Packers base, well, I shouldn't say their base defense, but what has become their base defense being their nickel, which is three cornerbacks, which in this particular game was Randall Rollins and House were your three corners. Normally in a nickel defense, you have two inside linebackers on the field. What the Packers are doing with the nitro package is removing one of those inside linebackers, inserting a third safety onto the field. That third safety is actually Kentrell Bryce, and he plays more of a deep safety, and then Morgan Burnett as a starting safety moves up to play essentially an inside linebacker spot. So schematically, that's what the nitro package is. And as you said, the Packers used it the vast majority of the snaps against the Seahawks. One of the reasons they were able to was because it was effective at stopping the run, and that's one of the big risks when you add a third safety to what's already a nickel defense, a little lighter in the pants defense, you might say, in terms of the stature and the size of your players, is teams may try to run the ball against that and take advantage of that, and the Packers held up against the run with that personnel on the field.
Yeah, and if you go back to old school football, like 1960s, 70s football, the proposition of having a linebacker that actually weighs less than the opposing running back is not one I think a lot of head coaches would have really liked or envied.
Right.
But that's kind of the way the game is now in 2017 with the rule changes, with the emphasis on the passing games, the way that it works out for quarterbacks now and the more leniency that receivers are getting. It ultimately, you need to have guys that can stay with these guys. So what it does is it puts more pressure on those defensive linemen. Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark, I thought, stepped up really well to that and responded accordingly.
No doubt.
And it also puts more pressure on Burnett that he's going to need to step into the hole and, you know, be willing to absorb that contact. The thing that stood out to me the most in this game, and we'll talk about some of those unheralded players later and plays later, but when Seattle got into the Packers, deep into the Packers' red zone, I believe that was the third quarter, they get down to the three-yard line. The Packers kept the nitro on the field the entire time. They didn't switch to a base front. They didn't switch to a jumbo front. They had that much confidence in the package to hold up to that kind of pressure that they stuck with their guys, and as it turned out, ended up being the right decision.
Yeah, and we saw Morgan Burnett as this nitro linebacker being used in a number of different ways. Sometimes he was a spy on Russell Wilson to perhaps take care of the scrambling issue. Other times he was in coverage against tight end Jimmy Graham. There was a play, probably the most notable individual play that Burnett made was a third down in Packers territory. I believe it was in the second half. And Jimmy Graham goes over the middle and Burnett's in coverage and gets a hand in there and knocks down the pass from Wilson, forces the Seahawks to kick a field goal there when they possibly were headed in for a touchdown. So he was used in a number of different ways, and the term versatility is thrown around a lot, but you could see in this particular game how that versatility came in very handy.
Yeah, it did, Mike, and it's astonishing to me, and I asked Burnett about this after the game, just the success the Packers have had against Jimmy Graham. This isn't a coincidence anymore. It isn't a down game. The Packers have defended him very well, especially since he's gotten to Seattle.
Yep.
3 catches for 8 yards, just limiting his opportunities. There was one drop on his part that he did get open. He did get the separation he needed but couldn't bring in the ball. But the fact that the Packers were able to minimize his output, I think, went a long way into being able to really stymie that momentum that the Seahawks were trying to establish throughout that entire game.
Yeah, I would agree with you. But with that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. And Wes, there were some plays in this Packers-Seahawks victory that have kind of flown under the radar in terms of their significance here in this 17-9 decision in Week 1. And you mentioned one of them in the last segment, and that was the drop pass by Jimmy Graham in the second half. I believe at the time the score was 14-6 in favor of Green Bay. It was a 3rd and 3, some type of situation like that for the Seahawks. And Graham had actually gotten a step on Morgan Burnett over by the sideline, a pretty decent-looking pass from Russell Wilson, and he just flat-out dropped it there right along the Packers sideline, and Seahawks end up having to punt. And, a first down there is across midfield. The Seahawks are, on the edge of field goal range, maybe heading into, to finish off the drive. That was a big, big miscue on the part of the Seahawks.
Yeah, Michael, the one thing that really stands out to me the most in this game, in the past, Dom Capers' defenses, as offenses have gotten down the field, they tend to really kind of harness everything when they get in the red zone. You get in that tighter space, it seems like they always kind of rose to the occasion, kept teams out of the end zone. In this particular game, what impressed me the most, and I think what showed me that this team's ready to take the next step, this defense is ready to take the next step, is how stingy they were between the 40s in this game. They weren't giving up any easy yardage despite having to defend against the explosive play. That play stands out to me because it was the one instance where Graham did get a little bit of separation, but Morgan Burnett was still there enough to challenge it so that it wasn't just a gimme play. It wasn't like he got the first step on him on an out route, and it's just, grab it and go. We see that so many times, especially with Jordy Nelson.
Sure.
But in Graham's particular case, there was still the body there. There was still the idea that he had to bring in the pass, also, prepare for the contact, and he couldn't do it. So, and then you look at the third down red zone play later in the game. I know there was some conversation with the Fox commentators of whether or not that was a catchable ball when Kentrell Bryce and Burnett were defending against Graham.
Right.
But it was those kind of instances where they just did not make life easy for him. And Jimmy Graham, 6'6", the way he runs, that's exactly how you have to defend him.
Yeah, and there were a couple of other plays, too, that the Packers' secondary in particular really made some impressive plays. One by Demarius Randall against Paul Richardson down by the goal line. It was actually, I believe, the play before the kind of controversial Jimmy Graham play in the back of the end zone. And Randall nearly came up with an incredibly athletic interception that would have been another game-changing type of play if he'd been able to pull it off. But that being said, then also in the second half, there was a throw down towards the pylon. I believe it was Amara Darboy, mm-hmm. if I have the name right. Darbo, I think, is his last name. And HaHa Clinton Dix comes over from his safety spot. The receiver leaps by the sideline, gets his hands on the ball. The Packers have 3 defenders there, and Clinton Dix is the one who puts the biggest hit on him to basically ride him out of bounds. He has no chance to get his feet down. He ended up not hanging onto the ball anyway, but even if he had, it would have been incomplete at the pylon. And that was a big play because if that catch is made, if that isn't contested as well as it is by the Packers, and if he's able to come down with that athletic catch, you're looking at a minimum of 1st and goal inside the 5.
Yeah, it's a great observation. And what stands out to me the most, you got a chance to cover Nick Enoch Collins for a number of years. I only had a very short time following him. But when you see these all-pro type safeties do what they do, it's really something to watch.
Yeah.
Clinton Dix, we talked so much about his ball skills last year and the 5 interceptions leading the Packers defense, tied for 5th in the NFL. But his ranginess there and his speed and his physicality is really what separates him and I think positions him well to be one of the top safeties in this game. And on that particular play, not only does he go up and hit Darbo, but he keeps him elevated, allowing Burnett, Kevin King to kind of get in with that tackle, force him out of bounds with the rule changes. You know, it's an incomplete pass no matter what, but fortunately he also ended up, you know, not being able to bring it in. I give Darbo credit. That's a young man that's going up, and he understands what's going to happen when he goes up to make that. He's trying to make a play.
Yeah.
But Kahaha Clinton Dix did exactly what he's coached to do, a nice clean hit, and was able to break up what otherwise would have been a completion that either would have ended in the end zone or at the 1 yard line.
Yeah, and Dom Capers was sure to give credit to Kevin King on that play as well, because Darbo is not King's man there, but King read the quarterback's eyes and read where that ball was going. He peeled off his own man to sort of get in there on the hit with Darbo by the sideline. So the Packers had 3 defenders there, you know, 2 safeties and a cornerback, because Burnett was sort of the safety who was covering him or assigned to him out along the boundary. But you mentioned it with these all-pro safeties, and you and I looked at each other in the press box after that free play of Rodgers where he tried to go deep to Nelson, and Earl Thomas just came flying out of the middle of the field and made a Willie Mays type of deep center field over the shoulder catch in the end zone. Of course, the interception is wiped out because of the penalty, and Rodgers was taking the shot because he knew he had a free play. But those are the types of plays that your jaw just kind of hits the table, because the athleticism, the awareness, the ball skills, all of that come into play, and it's really remarkable to see what some of these top flight guys can do out there.
It is, Mike, and we got an idea for that watching Thomas and Chancellor do their thing for so many years now, but now seeing that in this Packers defense, I think really is one of the areas that's going to separate them and really show exactly how far this defense has come on the back end, through the course of the year, seeing more plays like that.
Yeah, it'll definitely be fun to watch as we go forward. But with that, we're going to throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkowitz in that one. And Wes, shifting gears to talk about the offense a little bit. Packers had a young man making his first NFL start at right tackle, and I'm talking about second-year pro Kyle Murphy, the 2016 sixth-round draft pick out of Stanford. And boy, you talk about getting quite the assignment for your very first NFL start. This Seattle Seahawks defensive front was exactly that. But give credit to Murphy. He didn't fold. He held his own, and the Packers didn't have to completely change their game plan just because they had a brand new right tackle in the ballgame.
No, I mean, Murphy earned his paycheck in this game, and for what was being asked of him, as you said, Mike, and as Mike McCarthy mentioned too, their game plan wasn't to just park a fullback or a tight end either behind him or next to him. There was going to be times where they were just going to let their 5-man offensive line defend against whatever was coming and allow Aaron Rodgers to move and operate with the boundaries of which he can. The thing that stood out to me the most with Murphy is just watching a young player get comfortable throughout the course of the game. He mentioned there was some pre-game excitement, not really so much jitters, but just the anticipation of knowing this is your first NFL start.
Oh, yeah.
He only played 8 offensive snaps as a rookie, was inactive for a majority of the season. But getting a chance to talk to his college teammate and roommate, Blake Martinez, he said, the thing that impressed him the most about Murphy is last year he still treated it a lot like he was a starter. Night before games, he was researching, he was planning, he was watching film, doing whatever he could to make sure he was ready for that moment. The Packers notify him the night before the game that he will be starting, gave him some time to mentally prepare for that Seattle defensive front, and I thought, all things considered, put together a pretty solid performance.
I thought he did, too, and I mean, obviously it wasn't perfect. He was charged, I guess you would say, with giving up 2 sacks in the game. One, he was beaten by a speed rush by Cliff Averill around the edge on a 3rd down, and Cliff Averill's done that to plenty plenty of more experienced tackles in the league. The other one was kind of a stunt that the Seahawks ran with that side of their defensive line. Looked like, you know, Rodgers probably had enough time to get the ball off initially, but didn't find anybody open, and then that stunt eventually got home, and Murphy's guy ended up getting the sack. But I've certainly seen against defenses of that caliber, brand new starters get picked on and get exposed a lot worse than Kyle Murphy did. And I as you said, I give the guy a lot of credit for standing in there. And I think the biggest compliment is that the Packers didn't have to, you know, take half or three quarters of their game plan and just, you know, tear it up and toss it out because, oh, well, this isn't going to work because Murphy's in there. That's not how they went about it, and that's a credit to him.
And keep in mind, too, Michael, I mean, the Packers for the better part of the last two seasons, and then looking back on it, really the last five, their situation at right guard's been pretty settled, whether it was Josh Sinton or TJ Lang at that spot and Brian Bulaga. That was pretty much their 1-2 punch. So to be in a situation the first game of the regular season where you have Jari Evans making his first start with the Packers,
right,
and you have Murphy, who had played, as I mentioned, only a handful of snaps his rookie year, that was a big assignment. And not only that, as Murphy said, it put a bullseye on them. Seattle knew in the week of preparation that this might be what they're going to be looking at. How can we challenge them? They run probably as many stunts and twists as anyone in the NFL, maybe right there with Dallas. And they threw everything they had at them. Early on, we were able to get some pressure. We were able to get some opportunities to the outside. But in general, as I said, as the game wore on, particularly in that second half when the Packers started to get their rhythm and tempo together, Murphy was pretty lights out.
Yeah, and Murphy seems to be settling in as a as an offensive tackle as maybe his most comfortable spot. I know as we got into the offseason with OTAs and whatnot, he was, you know, potentially going to get some work at guard, you know, work at both guard and tackle, and he did do that, you know, during OTAs and part of training camp. But then once Brian Bulaga went down with that ankle injury about halfway through training camp, Murphy started taking a lot of work, getting a lot of snaps at right tackle, and he really he made the most of all that preparation time, because I guess you would have to say he didn't look like a guy making his very first start in the NFL. He looked like he belonged out there, and there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, and then, you know, Martinez and Murphy, they talk before every game, and one of the big conversation pieces among this, and it was the same as when Martinez made his first start at linebacker last year, is you've played this game forever. It's really not that much different. Yeah, the responsibilities are changed. You have Aaron Rodgers that you're blocking for. But at the end of the day, winning your matchup is what it comes down to. Being able to you know, stack those successes throughout the course of 70, 80 plays sometimes. And that was the one thing I saw from Murphy. And now going forward, we'll have to see what the outlook's going to be for Brian Bulaga trying to come back from that ankle injury. But right. I think the coaching staff got a good idea that if they need to rely on this kid, if they need him to come in and play, he's going to be up for the challenge.
Yeah, and we will find out as the week goes along if Bulaga's possibly going to be back in the lineup or if Murphy gets a start number two. But with that, we'll throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford and Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, before we go, now that week one is entirely and officially in the books, including the Monday night doubleheader, when you take a look at the NFC North, dare I say that the division was 6 yards of Soldier Field turf away from being 4-0 after 1 week. The Bears coming, you know, right on the cusp of pulling off the upset against the defending NFC champion Atlanta Falcons. 4 cracks from the 6-yard line, first and goal there with about 20 seconds left. Plays were there to be made on first and second down. They didn't get it. Give Atlanta credit for their defense on third and fourth down. But the Lions get a win. The Vikings get a win on Monday Night Football. And obviously the Packers get a win. So the division off to a fairly impressive start.
Yeah, it is, Mike. And I have to first off tip my cap to the Vikings. One game does not make a season. But I was probably one of the ones that was cooler on them more than anybody else, really, in the national polls. I know there's been a lot of love thrown their way. And you see the weapons they have and the way they're developing. I don't think that defense has been a question. Mike Zimmer's had his scheme in place there for a number of years now, and I think they've really played to his attitude and his mindset and his scheme. offensively has been the work in progress. You saw Norv Turner go in there. You saw Norv Turner leave. You saw the injury to Teddy Bridgewater. You saw, you know, Sam Bradford get brought in basically overnight and, you know, put in as the starting quarterback. They're starting to look more, I think, what they are expecting that offense to be.
Yep.
Adam Thielen is showing himself to be one of the top young receivers in this league now. And, you know, if they can get Laquon Treadwell on the right direction, they're a formidable offense because it looks like they found their running back, too.
Yeah, that Dalvin Cook certainly made an impressive debut, the rookie out of Florida State. You mentioned Thielen. They've got Stephon Diggs, who was a guy who really came on strong, obviously, last year. The biggest thing with Minnesota is they revamped their offensive line, new right tackle, a new left tackle, a new center. And, you know, they certainly passed their first test. Now, the New Orleans Saints, not one of the better defenses in the league. But Sam Bradford not only was pinpoint and accurate and solid all night long, but he had plenty of time to throw, which was not the case last year when he seemed to be under siege a lot. So that Vikings offensive line is going to be the unit to watch because three new starters plus the new running back, but a veteran quarterback who's trying to make a go of it again.
Bradford does a tremendous job of protecting the football. He always has, but the issue for him has been, you know, he's not the most mobile quarterback in the world, and obviously there's been the injury history, so it has been trying to keep the pocket clean for him in which to operate. So we saw that in this contest against the Saints. And really, it's going to be a thing I'm going to be following all year because as many issues they had on the offensive line last season, a lot of that was brought on by injuries, too.
Yeah, and with the Lions quickly, too, you know, give credit to them. Got off to a slow start against the Cardinals. I believe Stafford had thrown a pick six early in that game. But then the Lions defense comes back. It's three interceptions against Carson Palmer. They end up running away with that game in the second half. So they get a win over a team that many people thought would be, you know, is going to potentially be an NFC playoff contender as well.
The first thing you and I talked about was them trying to get back-to-back playoff appearances, one step you know, towards making that happen now.
No doubt about it. Well, with that, that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.